I'll be reading from John chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, and then verse 15. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him, the light, all men might believe. He, John, himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came that to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Verse 15. John testified concerning him, Jesus Christ. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" Oh, Father God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, help us as your people to grasp this huge, huge doctrine of the Trinity and how you are God made flesh. You're not a man sent from God. You're not a prophet that God sent us. You're not a messenger that God sent us. You are the prophet. You are the message. And you are God. Help us, Lord, as we grasp this huge mystery. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is the illustration that I hinted to last week. But as we put up on the screen, go ahead and pull up Philippians chapter 2 for us. I am going to go through this illustration that I talked about last week. And again, I want to do a little disclaimer. This is not perfect. Anything that you use to describe the relationship of God with us is going to fall short. And mankind has done all kinds of illustrations. St. Patrick highlighted the four-leaf clover, or the three-leaf clover, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One of the problems is that when you take it too far, that is a heresy called modalism. And modalism is the belief that we have one God who wears different offices or different hats. When he's got the God the Father hat on, he's God the Father. But when he came to live in the earth, he was God the Son. And when he's invisible, he's God the Holy Spirit. It's a heresy called modalism. And any kind of illustration you come up with is going to, if you take it too far, will go into modalism. Why? Because no human explanation of our created God is going to do justice. You just can't explain. I like the question mark where there's a mystery here of we serve one God manifested through three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is historical Christianity. And this one doctrine, if you take it out, we become no different than Judaism. We become no different than Islam. We fall right into all the other monotheistic religions when you take away the doctrine of the Trinity. But the doctrine of the Trinity is what keeps that mystery of God. It's the one doctrine that maintains his uncreatedness. He is different than us. And it's this Trinity. Now, in the illustration, I want to go through Philippians 2 as my introduction, and I'll go through my illustration. Again, it starts out, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So again, there's an attitude of submission that we should have to one another, just as Jesus had to God the Father, who, existing in the form of God, and that word form is morphe. It's the word that many theologians get for essence, who in his essence, he's God. And I used the illustration, I actually brought water, that theologians have put together our doctrine of the Trinity and our understanding that there is an essence that is God, okay? And it's and it's this essence. It's what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they share the same essence. That in their nature, they're God. One God in nature, the same stuff. I call it the God goo. It's whatever it is. It's something we'll never totally understand. But God the Father shares the same essence with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I brought who I call Morphe the Snowman. Okay? I use Morphe because that is the illustration, the word that is used in the Greek to explain how God the Son shares the same essence with God the Holy Spirit. To show this a little bit more, this water is actually made of melted snow because they share the same essence. God the Father has the same essence as God the Son. And now when we get to John 14 and 16 in our study, we're going to get into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be the equivalent of steam, because steam shares the same essence with this, that you have the essence of God is shared by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but they're not the same. This is not the same as this, and steam is not the same as these two. And it, if you do it in an algebraic way, you would do God the Father is not God the Son. God the Son is not God the Spirit. God the Spirit is not God the Father. But God the Father is God, God the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God. Again, why? Because they share the same essence. Does that make sense? So let's follow it. Who existing in the essence of God, who has the same, he existed in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And that word does not mean attained. It means held on to. But he let go of it. He didn't grasp it. He didn't hang on to it. He didn't hang on to the fluidity, so to speak, that he has as God. But he emptied himself and made himself nothing, and being found in the form, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. It's that same word of form. Again, he morphed. That's the Greek word. It's morphed. He morphed from the essence, the pure essence of God, to the limiting of being at one place at one time. He limited himself. It's a Greek word kenosis, a kenotic. It means emptied. It means you let go of certain things, of power, of abilities, and you morphed into a limiting human form. He emptied himself, taking a, go back. One more. Okay. Taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. He morphed. He left the form, the essence, the pure essence, the power of being fully God, to being limited to be a human being. Very limiting. He emptied himself. If you want to illustrate this kenosis, this emptying, you take a bottle of soda and you empty it out so that there's only little, like a drop left in there. But it's still in there. Again, he emptied himself, being found in human. Next slide. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The limiting of him leaving the power of heaven, the power of the pure essence of God, to limiting to human form, allowed him to be crucified. See, you can't crucify this. But you can crucify this. He emptied himself and he became fully human and he was crucified on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That word Lord goes back to the Old Testament of the personal name of God, which is YHWH, the two ways to pronounce it. If you've heard the name Yahweh, or if you've heard the name Jehovah, that the name of Jesus that will confess that Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is Jehovah. He is the uncreated God of the Old Testament to the glory of God the Father. Does that make sense? Again, you have that they share the same essences, but they're not three gods. It's one God, but existing in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. With that said, that's a long introduction. Sorry about that. But I hope that helps you to understand that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit share the same essence. But it's not three gods. It's one God manifested to three distinct persons. And again, it's not modes. Like the illustration would be more modes. But again, it's three distinct persons, our God. Now here's some comparison to help us to go the another route using John the Baptist. By comparison between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. John's conception was unusual. It was unusual. It's unusual for a man and woman of retirement age. We don't know exactly how old he was. 70, 80, 90, somewhere probably in there. Someone of their age, it's unusual for them to have a baby. If I were to go to some of my seniors here in the church and say, this time next year, your wife is going to have a baby, you'd probably laugh at me, right? But it's unusual. But it's not unheard of. I didn't look. I meant to look at some of the records for humanity. But I know that women in these ages have had children. It's unusual. But everything's there to still have children. And so it's happened before. But it's unusual, especially after menopause. It's unusual. It's not likely. But again, Jesus' birth was supernatural. His birth was without any father involved. There was no male seed involved in the conception of Jesus Christ. That's not just unusual. That's supernatural. That's way off the charts. And so again, you see the comparison? John had an unusual birth, elderly parents, she conceived, they had a son. Jesus' parents was Mary and nobody else. Joseph didn't come into the picture until he took her to be his wife and thus legally adopted the child to be his. And so that's why we have two distinct genealogies of Jesus Christ in the Bible. We have a genealogy through Mary, and that's in the book of Luke, and we have a genealogy of Joseph, and that is in the book of Matthew. Why? Because adoption is legitimate parentage. When you adopt, that child gets your inheritance. They are everything in line of a natural born kid. There's no distinction. And so Jesus was adopted by Joseph, and thus he has two distinct genealogies, one from Mary and one from Joseph through adoption. And so again, but again, you have the comparison, John's conception and Jesus's. Next, John was sent from God. Jesus was God made human, made flesh. You see the difference? John is a human being created, 100% created. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. It's this morphe where the Word of God, the Son of God, morphed into flesh. He became human. It's different. It's different. It's again, it's a supernatural versus unusual. He was not unusual in his birth. He was supernatural in his birth. There is no explanation of how you can have a child without having a male seed and the egg from the woman coming together to be a human being. It just doesn't happen. You can't do it that way. You always need something else in order to do it. The egg is not enough to become a full human being. You need the other half. In Jesus, it was supernaturally bypassed. He was God made human. Next, John was a witness to the light. This is in verse 8 and 9. It says this, he, John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. We talked about the light last week. Light is revealed truth from God. And right now, those of you that are listening to this, you're getting all kinds of truth revealed to you. Many of you knew this already. It's not anything new. Some of you, it's like, oh, this is cool. This is new. But again, he is the light. He is the truth. He is the way to the Father. When you discover Jesus Christ, you've discovered something that is so revolutionary, something that is so out of the ordinary, something that is so supernatural that God made flesh becomes your Lord and Savior. The light has come to you. The truth has come to you. And humanity is hunger for this, and you have it. John could only talk about it. Jesus was it. He was the light. John could testify about the light that was coming, but Jesus was the light. Jesus is that unusual being that shows up in the Bible that when he talks to people, he doesn't say, God the Father told me. He can tell you this. I tell you. We know that there is a being that shows up to Moses in the burning bush. And this being shows up in the burning bush. And when Moses approaches the burning bush, the being inside the bush says, you better take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground. And Moses says, well, what's your name? What am I going to tell the people that you are? He says, tell them I am has sent you because I am that I am. I self exist. I existed before. I will exist forever. Jesus blew the Jews away when they asked him point blank in John 8:58, who are you? And he said it this way, before Abraham was born, I am. And what was their response? They picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because he was claiming to be the same essence as God the Father. Before Abraham was born, I am. I am that I am has sent you, is what he told Moses. Jesus claimed that same being. He claimed to be the being in the burning bush. When he said, before even Abraham was born, I am. I self-exist. No one made me. I self-exist. Wow. John was created human being. Verse 10. He was in the world. He, Jesus Christ, was in the world. And though the world was made through him, he created all things. All things were made by him and for him and through him. And yet he came John was a created human being. Jesus was the creator, verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He didn't fit in their mold. They expected a prophet. They expected a man sent from God, but God himself showed up. They did not know what to do with it. Now, John was born first. John, Mary was conceived, became pregnant before Mary. Elizabeth became pregnant before Mary. Before Mary was found to be with child, Elizabeth was already pregnant. Again, Elizabeth was unusual, but not supernatural. Mary became pregnant after Elizabeth. Who came first? John was born first. But look at what he says in verse 10. It says, he was in the world and the world was made through him. And then you can jump to 15 even. John was born first, but Jesus still existed before him. Verse 15, John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Why? Because he existed from the very beginning of the beginning and even before the beginning. Eternally God. Mystery? We'll never fully understand it. But again, it's not a man sent from God. It's God made flesh. It's God with us. Emmanuel is one of his names. God with us. Do you want to discover God? You discover Jesus Christ. Now, what effect should this have on our view of the world and our behavior? It's huge. This makes a huge difference, at least in my life. Jesus cannot be dismissed as just another religious dude. He can't be blown off and say, "Oh, he's just one of those religious leaders. You know, there's all kinds out there claiming to be God or claiming to be the only messenger of God. He's just another one of those." You can't get that from the Bible. You can't get that from the Bible. You saw how clear it was from Philippians 2, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but he emptied himself, being found in human likeness. He suffered death on the cross. That's not another human religious dude. That's something different. And you can say, well, maybe the disciples made it up. Maybe they wanted to get their religion a little kick. And so when Jesus left, it went into heaven, they embellished it a little bit. Well, just think how ridiculous that is. The writers of the New Testament, they gave us all these great religious truths that many of us have built our life upon, were bold-faced liars. Or they were just nuts. Crazy with power. Wow, really? And when I read the New Testament, I come across things that I don't get anywhere else. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn the other cheek. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. It was created by the biggest liars on the planet. They stole his body and hid it and said he rose from the dead. You got to go that route. Or you come back to the route that he was who he claimed to be, that he was God made flesh, and boy, we have to face it. We've got to come to grips with that. Huge stuff, huge stuff. You can't just dismiss him as another religious guy. There's something here. There's something here we just can't ignore. There's something here you just can't blow off and say it's part of the smorgasbord of religions in America. You can choose this, you can choose that. No, this is something different. Jesus Christ is something different. Next, no human teacher should ever have the place of God in our lives. Neither me nor anyone else. If something happens and I end up falling from grace, I end up doing something so horrible that it disgraces my ministry, that should not destroy your faith. Your faith needs to be in the one that is already up in heaven, that did things the right way and is a perfect example. That's who your life should be based upon. Amen? I really do try. But boy, I'm so far from perfect. And many of you, you're so far from perfect. But you shouldn't let that destroy your faith. Why? Because your faith is based upon the perfect one who, being in the very essence of God, became flesh, died for your sins, and ascended back up into heaven. That's who your faith should be based upon, not any human being. John or otherwise. Shouldn't be. Next, we have to receive him as our God. You have to receive him as your Lord. It's that Jehovah Yahweh again. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is God that you can get. Because God the Father is so ungettable. But God the Son we can get. God the Holy Spirit's a little more gettable, but still so mysterious. But God the Son, he's a historical figure. There's whole history books written about the accounts of the people that wrote in history books of their encounters with Jesus Christ. There's a historian, his name is Josephus. He talks about him from eyewitness accounts, a Roman historian. He wrote about him. Other people have written about him. He was a real human being that existed. And you can prove him just as much as you can prove that George Washington ever lived. Maybe even more so. You got to receive him as our God. Next is we must submit to him as our Lord. And I think that's what today's about as we accepted people into membership and as we get ready to baptize a couple folks, that they have submitted to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. How can I shake people up to get them to realize that going to church and getting a lot of religious doctrine from religious dudes such as me is not enough? You have to encounter Jesus Christ. And to shake them up and to say, have you really received him as your Lord and Savior? As your God? Remember what Thomas said when after Jesus rose from the dead and he showed him his hands and he showed him his sight. Thomas, who had before says, I won't believe until I see. When he saw, he fell down. And what did he say? My Lord and my God. Have you done that? Have you fell before Jesus Christ and say, you're my Lord and my God? If so, maybe we need to talk. Maybe if you want to have that assurance of your salvation, meet with me and talk with me and pray with me. You can have that assurance from today on that you are a child of God through adoption into the kingdom of God through the blood of the Son. You can have that assurance. You have to submit to him as your Lord and your God. Father God, I thank you for this challenging sermon. As a human being, I'm so flawed. I'm sure I made mistakes. But Lord, you don't. It's a mystery why you don't stay here. I believe the answer is that the idolatry would be so huge if you were still walking around the planet for these last 2,000 years. And your goal isn't to have us stay with the Morphe God, with the God made flesh, but your goal is to take people to the uncreated one, the Father, the uncreated God, to by faith join in the mystery of our uncreated God. Your goal was to bring people to the Father, not just have them stay where you were. And I believe that that's why you're not here. But you left flawed teachers like me and those in this room in charge of this huge truth. That you are God. And that you want to take us by faith to the Father. Lord, help us to spend our ministry, our life, everything we do and say, to be good examples. To bring people to the uncreated one. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,